If mountains had feelings, then K2 would feel neglected. The highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest, gets all the attention. K2 is the second highest mountain in the world. At 28,251 feet, it's just a mere 778 feet shy of Everest. But have you ever heard of it? How many have actually heard of K2? Raise your hand. Before now, raise your hand. Okay, well, there's more, a lot more than I thought. And that poor mountain doesn't even have a name. Just got a letter and a number designation, K2. Leonard Bernstein, the famous conductor, was asked one day, what was the most difficult instrument to play? His reply, second violin. We read in the Bible about all the great heroes, Moses, David, Daniel, Samuel, Joshua, the New Testament, Peter and Paul, and of course, towering above them all is our Lord Jesus Christ. And oftentimes in the scriptures, we're called either directly or by someone teaching or preaching on an individual to follow their example. And we look at these heroes and we're like, I'm no Jesus for sure. I'm not even a Peter or a Paul. Isn't this example thing a little bit of out of my reach? Well, in the book of Philippians chapter 2, the apostle Paul has been sharing examples of humility that is expressed in service and sacrifice. And of course, he begins with the one that towers above them all, the Lord Jesus Christ. In that amazing passage of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, when he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to describe both his service and his sacrifice for us. Well, then, later on in the chapter, verses 16 through 18, he draws the Philippians' attention to his example of service and sacrifice. But now to finish out the chapter, he calls our attention to a couple second stringers. A couple of guys that all of us can identify with because they're no Peter, they're no Paul, they're no Jesus. But yet, they lived lives of service and sacrifice. And as such, we can realize, you know, if Timothy and Epaphroditus can do it, so can I. So let's notice Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30, and see the examples of this priceless pair, Timothy and Epaphroditus, who developed the personality of Christ, which is the personality of humility demonstrated in service and sacrifice. Notice, first of all, Timothy gives us a priceless example of service. Verses 19 through 24. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Notice in these verses, they begin with the thought of, I will send Timothy. And notice how this passage ends, verses 23 and 24. I hope, therefore, to send him. So in between those two expressions of his future plans for Timothy, his travel itinerary, if you please, the apostle gives us right in the middle the attitude of a servant and the apprenticeship of a servant. Notice the attitude of a servant is wrapped up in verses 20 and 21. For I have no one like him. Literally, I have no one of equal soul. That's what those two words, like him, mean. Equal soul to himself. Who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. We see the attitude of humility that Timothy portrayed is one of unselfish devotion. It's very much along the line of what the apostle called all of us to in this chapter, but earlier in verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4, notice what it says. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. And he speaks of Timothy in verse 21, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. In the March 21st, 1995 edition of the Wall Street Journal, writer Emery Thomas wrote these words. Ernest Bud Miller, president and chief executive officer of Arvida, a real estate company, closed regional offices, reorganized departments, and cut his workforce of 2,600 in half. In the process, he turned a money-losing company into a profitable one. But despite all the trimming, Miller believed one layer of fat remained. So last March, he resigned. I couldn't justify me to me, says Miller. I couldn't look at the people I let go and say I applied a different standard to me. Every fiber of my person wanted to stay, but professionally, this was the decision that had to be made. The move eliminated one of the two senior jobs at the company. The chief operating officer of Arvida became the chief executive officer. Miller, 53, gave up an upper six-figure income. Unselfish devotion, even to the cost of oneself, is the attitude of humility. But then notice in verse 22, we see the apprenticeship of a servant. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. See, back in these days, very often, sons would learn the trade of their father. And they would serve as an apprentice underneath his father. Now, we didn't arrange this testimony to fit this part of the message. But I found it very interesting as Philip was talking, as a son served with his father. He learned the trade of Royal Family Kids Camp under his father. And you don't have to have that physical connection of the physical father with the physical son. There can be a spiritual connection. Again, I did not craft this message around Beth's life skills ministry that she presented. How mentoring people is what the desire of this spiritual pathways presentation is going to be. You see, what does an apprentice do? What's all about an apprenticeship? Well, first of all, an apprentice watches you do it. Then you watch them do it. And then you let them do it. And the idea is then they take an apprentice who watches them do it. And then you watch them do it. And then you release them to do it. How do people learn to pray? They watch other people pray. And then you listen to them pray. And then they pray. How do people learn to teach the Bible? They watch other people teach the Bible. And then you watch them teach the Bible and you give your input into them. And then you release them to teach the Bible. That's what apprenticeship does. That's what apprenticeship means. By the way, that's what we need more of at River Cities Community Church. I say that's what we need more of in River Cities Community Church. People taking other people under their wing and showing them how to live the Christian life, walking with them in the Christian life, and then watching them as they live out different aspects of the Christian life, and then releasing them to show somebody else. And on it goes. That's just what the Bible means by discipleship. A disciple was a follower. The disciples followed Jesus for 3 years. They saw Jesus pray and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray," just like John taught his disciples. And Jesus taught them to pray. You see, folks, that's what apprenticeship does. Modeling and mentoring spiritual disciplines and spiritual ministry. Timothy was a priceless example of service. But then notice the second of this priceless pair, Epaphroditus. He was a priceless example of sacrifice. Notice in verses 25 through 30, "I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'm the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service." Notice some things about Epaphroditus, some character qualities as he related to Paul and then as it related to the church. In verse 25, Paul calls him my brother. First, and the very basic bottom line was, He was a fellow believer, my brother, a follower of Jesus. Secondly, he was a fellow worker. That is, he was a partner with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, earlier in this book, talked about spiritual partnership in chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Epaphroditus was one of those partners with the Apostle Paul, a fellow worker. And then thirdly, he called him a fellow soldier. He was a defender of the gospel of Christ. Paul talked about that earlier in chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Epaphroditus was all of these. A fellow believer, a fellow worker, and a fellow soldier. But he also had a relationship with the church of Philippi. The last part of verse 25, Paul says he was your messenger and minister to my need. The word messenger is literally apostle. Now, he's not one of the 12 apostles that we normally think of when we hear that word. Those were apostles of Christ. Epaphroditus was an apostle of the church. The word apostle means one sent on a mission. The church at Philippi sent Epaphroditus on a mission to the Apostle Paul. As we'll read later in chapter 4, that mission was to bring to him an offering to meet his need. That was his mission. But while on that mission, he got sick. So sick, he says in this passage, he nearly died. We could say Epaphroditus almost worked himself to death serving Jesus. Not only was he a messenger, he was a minister. He was sent by the church to attend the needs of the Apostle Paul. And then finally, he was anxious for the church. When he heard that the church at Philippi found out he was sick, nearly to death, he was concerned not for himself, but for the church. And that's the reason the apostle sent him back. Probably before the church intended him to come back, and before Paul intended him to go back, because of his anxiety for the church. Now, when we talk about this thing of sacrifice, oftentimes I fear we think of our lives in terms of like a $1,000 bill. I have never seen a $1,000 bill. Have any of you? One. I expect that to be in the offering today. Right? You were 12. Oh, okay. That's been spent long time ago. We think in terms of a $1,000 bill. And we say, I'm going to sacrifice it all for the Lord. And we want to lay out that $1,000 bill and go out in a blaze of glory. Maybe as a martyr or whatever for the cause of Christ. We think that's what sacrifice is. But in reality, you take that $1,000 bill,
You take that $1,000 bill.
Go to the bank and cash it in for quarters. And you sacrifice your life a quarter at a time. Serve a week in Royal Family Kids Camp. You dole out a quarter. Serve as a coach at Upward Basketball and Cheerleading. You dole out a quarter. Serve in the nursery on Sunday morning. You dole out a quarter. You serve in youth ministry or children's ministry or Awana. You dole out a quarter. And your life is sacrificed giving out a quarter at a time. Here and there. And by the end of your life, you've sacrificed that $1,000, but just a little bit at a time, here and there. I maintain to you, that is the more difficult thing to do than the all at once. Laying out that $1,000 bill, saying, here it is, Lord, take me out of here in a blaze of glory. Because that is faithfulness. Day in, day out, week in, week out. Epaphroditus was a priceless example of sacrifice. Let me ask you a question. Are you living under that mistaken notion that a life of sacrifice is laying it all on the line in one grand offering to the Lord? Let's face it, folks, that would leave most of us out. But sacrificing a quarter at a time, a little bit here, a little bit there, will add up over the long haul to what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual form of worship. I just mentioned some of the ways in our church you can sacrifice. Maybe your sacrifice is going down on Saturday morning to the homeless by the river and serving a meal, sharing a devotion, working with people, right, Papa Smurf? On the streets that have needs and need to hear the gospel and need to see the gospel in action with the love of Christ. That's how we sacrifice for Christ. And you know what? Any and every one of us can do it. Let's pray. Thank you, Father in heaven, for these priceless examples of service and sacrifice. Lord, help us to look at this matter of sacrifice in this totally different way. Rather than that one grand, glorious act, a great number of smaller, glorious acts of sacrifice for Jesus. And Lord, may we live that way, because that's the way, Jesus, you lived. You said you did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give your life a ransom for many. Yes, your great, grand, glorious sacrifice is that which saved us. But Lord, we understand your whole life was doling out acts of service, acts of sacrifice, a little bit here, a little bit there, until you did the ultimate act for us on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have eternal life. So Lord, help us understand it in that way and live it that way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.